some of the things that are going on there ought to be dealt with by the city. They are against the law, and we ought to enforce the law. Others of those things people don't like, and the city has no business dealing with them anyway. Because if people don't like the kind of speech that people are making or the way they look while they're doing it, it's really just not our business. It's not any government's business to deal with that. So how can we make that distinction? I don't really know the answer, but frankly, I can't really see that. I think what's going on with the fence is that we're just grasping for some way to take on this problem because people are upset about it. But I don't tend to think that the fence is the way that we're going to do it. I'm not convinced that ours are the way to do it. I think it's probably a combination of learning what we ought to tolerate and accept as free speech, and also learning that because someone is exercising their right to free speech does not give them license to do anything else at the same time, such as litter and camp against the city ordinance. So my recommendation would be that we, and I don't know whether we should leave it to the Parks and Recreation Commission to come up with this. The council has a public safety committee that perhaps needs to try and deal with this. But I think it's going to take a little bit more of a comprehensive solution it's not going to satisfy the problem to put a fence around it. I just, on a very practical level, what I want to point out about putting a fence there, aside from other concerns that I have about it, is that if you put a fence there, people go inside the fence, which they certainly can do if it's anything like the fence you presented, they will be violating just another relatively minor city ordinance that, which are in some cases being violated now. So I don't think we're necessarily going to get any further to have the fence in terms of solving this problem. And we're going to have spent some money on it, and we're going to have really pretended that we did something about it, and I don't think we really will have done anything about it. So I do want to, I guess the one other point I want to make is, I think probably in the end I see this as a constitutional issue, but it's not the First Amendment that I see at play here. It's probably, I guess it's the 14th Amendment, which says equal protection of the law for everyone. And we need to say that regardless of how someone appears and regardless of what they're saying, we just don't have a business of trying to get rid of them for that reason.
Further comments? Councilmember Kennedy.
This will probably sound like a conspiracy, but I was in Washington, D.C. also. If not a violation of the Brown Act, not at public expense. And I concur with a lot of the comments about the use of monuments there and the spirit in which they're celebrated by the whole country. And it's also ironic to visit the White House and be able to see people sleeping in Lafayette Park or right against the fence in front of the White House. And I think that one of the problems I have with this discussion is that part of it seems to be kind of wishful thinking that somehow we can legislate out of view, if not out of our community, people whom we find somehow visually unacceptable or whatever way. And that's an illusion. These people are here to stay, and they're in the nation's capital, even in the dead of winter, and they'll be in Santa Cruz, I think, year-round. I was struck in the last month and a half, speaking in high schools in Santa Cruz, how many high school students have visited the vigil at the town clock. And they don't conform to any of the caricatures of scruffy demonstrators or the kinds of things you read about in the letters of the editor. And it was disturbing to see that these high school students, the message they were getting about the expression of dissent in the United States was the contempt that was shown them by passersby who hurl epithets or sometimes worse, eggs or bottles at people there, and what they felt to be a systematic repression by the city against them for being present at what they construed to be a peace vigil. And I don't think that's the message we're trying to give to high school students in our city. The other thing that I've actually taken the opportunity to stop by the vigil several times, including after midnight, just to talk to people there, and because I want to get my own opinion about kind of what was going on. And my own impression, having visited there a number of times, let's say after hours, is the number of veterans who are participating in this vigil. And I think it's quite ironic that we'd be legislating out of public view the most recent crop of, the most distant crop of veterans while we're creating new ones in the Persian Gulf. And I don't know where all these veterans, when they come back and find that the veterans' budget has been cut by $2.3 billion by the flag wavers in Washington, where these people are going to be when they fall through the safety net. And the mesh and the safety net is ever wider. More people are falling through it, and they're falling into communities like Santa Cruz. And I want to end with a confession. I have stood on that monument both to see significant public events like the December 31st New Year's Eve celebration. And I've even had my children sit, or in the good old days, put their feet in the water at this monument. I didn't feel that was all disrespectful of the people either who for whom the monument was originally founded or who have contributed to the construction of the town clock. In fact, I thought it was perfectly in keeping with it. And I think it's always a danger that, I hope AC and others of us who identify with the peace movement will speak directly to the people in the vigil about our concerns, about how it reflects on the peace movement as a whole and on the image of the town. But to me, it's a very indirect way of dealing with conflict and illusory in the sense that it simply won't work. All we will do is move the vigil from the town clock outside the fence around the town clock. I'm not convinced it'll achieve any of those things. So for all of these reasons, I can't support the more fences, less assembly movement. Fewer assemblies. More fences, fewer assemblies spirit of this resolution.
I would like to concur with Councilmember Lane's proposal that we might look at sending this item. Councilmember Mahaney has also suggested sending this item to Parks staff or Parks and Recs Commission. I do want to say that the tenor of my remarks have not been directed towards what a person looks like. I would be the last person to make a decision on what you can do based on what you look like, but really on actions. And I think that's been a consistent statement of mine throughout the time I've been involved in politics. I think it's very important that we all be responsible for our actions and what kinds of repercussions they have. And it's very clear that when I have Parks and Rec staff come to me and tell me that longtime people cannot deal with maintenance there anymore, you know, I have to take that very seriously as a city official. And I really think we do need to, you know, face this head on. I think there are some good suggestions. I think Scott's suggestion about talking to them directly. I know that some council members have gone down there and tried to do that. People need to realize that perception has a very big place in our lives, unfortunately or fortunately. There are some of us who are trying to work on a day center. Let me tell you, it's very difficult to get a door open to talk about a day center when actions at a very visible place are being used against that kind of a concept. And I think we need to be very sober and when we look at the repercussions of actions, and I really do mean actions and not what people look like. And I want to be very clear that any attempt for us to deal with the issue at the town clock is dealing, from my point of view, with actions and not with appearances. And I think it's very important that we try and deal with it. And I welcome the opportunity, if the people at the town clock would like to sit down and find a way that we can deal with this. I think we're going to all lose something. I think that there are some proposals for dealing with a homeless situation, with dealing with a place for people to be, that are being put into jeopardy. And, that breaks my heart, quite honestly, because there are some issues that I know that several council members and I have been trying to work on. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair to the general community. So I would really like to support that we send it to the Parks and Rec Commission and staff and see what they want to do with it. I do need to say that I don't support a fence because I can remember we had the October commemoration there, And we do use it as a free speech area, and I think it's important for us to keep it and kind of leave as much space available. Maybe that won't be true later on after we have a new downtown and we have the ability to close streets and do some things. But right now I feel like it is used and it is an area that accommodates some free speech and some gatherings. And so fence seems like we're just limiting the area that we have off the street for those kind of events. So, but I, you know, I'm willing to have that under consideration by Parks and Rec as well. Council member in the House.
One further comment to the rest of the members in this council. We're designing a multi-million dollar improvement for Pacific Avenue. And we are asking the business community and the property owners to invest millions and millions of dollars and that in rebuilding our city. And we have made promises that the problems before the earthquake occurred were going to be effectively addressed that in the redesign and the rebuilding of the downtown. Our actions at the town clock are not sending a clear message to the business community that we are going to deal with this type of actions and situation that's going on at the town clock. There is a reasonable area where there is freedom of speech and the ability for people to gather and to express their opinions. And I think that those were clearly honored during the protest marches in the early part of the war. Mr. Kennedy, Mr. Lane participated with. Those aren't the issues. I think what the issues are is the points that you made and that as to rather unsightly actions going on down there that make it very hard and that whether to convince or get doors open to get a day service there, a day shelter, or to convince the retail community to make those investments in the downtown. If we can't correct this problem at the town clock, how are they supposed to believe us when we say we're going to correct the problem on Pacific Avenue? So I'm not absolutely sure what the answer is, but I know we need a solution, and we need a solution rather quickly if we're going to maintain any degree of credibility.
Well, I was just going to move it that we send this to the Parks and Recreation Commission, and I didn't realize that I wasn't trying to infringe on anybody's First Amendment rights or to change the veterans' benefits or do all these things that I've heard today. It's unreal. All I got is a chain link thing here. But it's kind of interesting because it does make an appearance on what we as Santa Cruzans want our downtown to look like, and I'd have to agree with Mr. Rittenhouse. So I'm going to just suggest we send this all the suggestions to the Parks and Recreation Commission and ask them to come back with some ideas.
Motion by Mahaney.
I'll second the motion.
Second by Rittenhouse. Councilmember Lane.
Yeah. I think just a partly clarification and a comment also. What I would support here is if we're sending not so much, and I don't think this is your intention, this particular thing, but just the issue of dealing with the town clock. Is that what we're referring
That's
to?
What we're trying to
okay,
do.
Okay, good. I'm happy to concur with that. And I also really want to appreciate something you said. I know that your intention, I really agree with that. I don't in any way question your intention was to do all these, these other things that are attributed to it. And I think, in fact, I want to just thank you because I think you were trying just to take on the problem. And it's like what Louis said, we have a responsibility to take this on. Sure. And while I wouldn't necessarily agree with your specific solution, I agree with your making us take it on, and I agree that we need to do that. And I think it's a way that Parks and Rec will be able to spend more time than we can working out sort of some of the details, and then it's going to come back to us, and we're going to have to deal with it, and I think that's fine.
Well, that's why Neil suggested we wait until next week or the week after, but I thought we might as well get the ball rolling because ultimately it's going to be back here, and the group of us are going to face it.
Okay. Further discussion? Councilmember Rittenhouse.
If acceptable with Councilman Mahaney, I would like to include in this that Parks' response is back no later than the second meeting in April. That's they have 1 month to pull this off. I don't want to be sitting here in the middle of summer under construction and everything else. I think we need to be clear and concise.
Councilmember Kennedy.
Yeah, I'm going to vote against the measure. The Parks and Rec Commission already voted 4-3 not even to impose hours on the town clock, so I don't know why people are hopeful that that'll be more productive next time around. I think if people are looking for messages to the business community, they're plenty. We just voted another $50,000 earlier in today's meeting to fund the streetscape design plans. The citizens of the city of Santa Cruz voted to tax themselves to recover earthquakes. We're investing millions of dollars in the redesign downtown. And, you know, frankly, I think it's one role of political leadership is to help people face the consequences of the kind of situations we face. And this, it's a fetish to look for quick and decisive, even final solutions to human problems. And it's very short-sighted to think that a fence or hours or any of these things are going to fundamentally address the kind of things that everybody's concerned about. So I can't support this motion.
Councilmember Bias.
Well, before I can decide to support it, I just don't know what we're expecting the Parks and Rec Commission to do. I don't know whether anyone in the audience has any can figure that out. We're turning what over? Now, we're turning over to make it a monument or to put in a fence or put hours? Or what are we asking to resolve the problem there? If I really had some clarity, having sat on other commissions and you get something from council and it says we are turning this over to you and I can't figure out what this is, is this the garbage at the town clock? If I had more clarification. And so I'd just like a little bit more dialogue and what specifically we're asking the Parks and Rec Commission, who did not get a second to their motion, actually, is what happened, which is an even stronger message to me on ours. But maybe if
I'd like
the maker of the motion would clarify what is...
I'd like to address some issues. First of all, I've had a couple of calls from Parks and Recreation commissioners who were absent at that meeting, and they expressed a desire to deal with this issue. And I would like to point to Housing Advisory Committee that we sent a mobile home ordinance, rent control ordinance to, and they decided to recommend conflict resolution. And I believe that the options are open for them to take, give us some advice about what they'd like to do or not do about the town clock. And I think that that's exactly what we're asking them to do, and we're not precluding any solution. And I personally tried to make a strong statement that I didn't think it was inappropriate to do conflict resolution, that we would talk about directly dealing with it and seeing if we could come to some agreement. I don't preclude any of the solutions when it goes there. If they decide not to deal with it, they decide not to deal with it. That's their option. But I do think we're asking them to give us some feedback. They regulate all of our parks and rec facilities, and I don't think it's inopportune to ask them for an opinion. And I have great expectations that they will come up with perhaps some creative ideas about how we can deal with it.
No, I think that's kind of what I'm asking for. And there are some other, you know, I hear everybody knows what the Parks and Recreation voted. I have not seen the minutes. I heard that they didn't get a second. So I feel like some of you are a little more clairvoyant than I am. But I think that right now, all I'm doing is, gosh, I thought all I was doing was adding another possible suggestion. I heard they were going to talk about it in a couple of weeks, and I thought, well, I'll get this idea to them, and that's what I'm trying to do. It is a park. It's a city park. It's got a beautiful monument on it, and I want to protect that monument. And I frankly, it didn't come here with the idea of restricting somebody's free speech.
Further discussion?
I was just going to add that I've had conversations with members of the Park Commission, and there was barely a majority there at the time. And a number of them have a great deal, I think, to input on this. And to take that vote as any indication of what Parks Commission true feelings are, I think, is incorrect. And I think there's a great deal of ability in that commission to possibly resolve or bring some resolution to this problem.
Further discussion, comments? We have a motion in front of us and a second, and we'll proceed to a vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion carries with Byers and Kennedy dissenting.
You know, Mayor, if the two people that have any other ideas, I really would like them to come forward with them, because I think it is a problem that we have to face, and there may be a better solution, and this is just a contract.
If I may respond, as I guess I'm chair of the Public Safety Committee, I would like, and I think we will discuss this. That would be my suggestion.
At the beginning of this council session, since there was no 7:30 session, Kennedy made a motion seconded by Lane and passed by the council to allow a special oral communications session. It's not usually allowed at the 4 p.m. session, but it was in this case. Kennedy again showed his sensitivity to those who want to speak during oral communications, as he had several meetings before when he asked that someone who had arrived late be allowed to speak again, although that individual had to wait until the end of the meeting several hours later to speak.
I want to thank you, Mayor Yokoyama, and the rest of the council. I thought I wouldn't be alone addressing you. I think I'm alone addressing you on this issue, but I guess that's both good and bad news. It's good for you. You get to end your meeting faster.
We still have another meeting after this.
This part of the meeting. My name is Dina Hurwitz, and I live in the city of Santa Cruz. And I just came tonight to make a point about the letter that you voted to send to our president, expressing appreciation for a successful and swift liberation of Kuwait and a job well done. I may be here tonight by myself, but I'm not speaking alone in expressing to you a great deal of anger and disappointment and also shock that the elected officials of our city would send such a letter. I can appreciate, and I think others can appreciate, a desire on your part to be patriotic and also to express especially some concern for the safety of our troops, but this war was a moral and a political failure despite its apparent military success. And in any event, I and many other citizens of this city do not conceive of any war as a job well done. War involves death, it involves destruction, it involves a great deal of suffering, and the exact scope of the devastation of the area that we call the cradle of civilization has yet to be determined, but we do know that it's been tremendous. And I just wanted to encourage you all to consider a subsequent letter to our president, perhaps insisting on humanitarian aid to Iraq. I can tell you, and to other parts of the region, I could tell you that I work with an organization you probably have heard of, the Fellowship of Reconciliation, and a shipment of medicine was temporarily held up by U.S. Customs in the airport in New York on its way to Jordan to go to the suffering from this war, and it was held up because of licensing. Licensing medicine for the people who are still alive. And this is not a job well done. I guess that's the long and the short of it. So I just want to let you all know that there are there is a petition circulating in the city which is headed not in my name, and there are people signing this petition letting you know, and it will be to ask you or perhaps we will send it on straight to the president, saying that the letter that was sent by our elected officials did not come in our name. And we knew this meeting was abbreviated, so we didn't organize to come here. And I just want you to know the petition is out circulating, and you can expect to hear more about it. Some of you, I think, have heard from constituents about this letter. And I know some have done, taken a big step to change the position taken, and I appreciate that, and others do too. I don't think it's too late for others to admit or to say this was a mistake and to change the letter or to send a subsequent one. So I would just end by saying that I and others like me would welcome gestures from our city officials that are humanitarian and can really make us feel proud to be citizens of Santa Cruz and of the United States. This war does not make me feel very proud. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hurwitz.
further oral communications?
Yeah. My name is Tom Vinn. I'm a 5-year resident of the city of Santa Cruz and now a downtown merchant. And I just wanted to say thank you for the council members that voted against that resolution. And if any of you are considering changing your minds, I'm all for it. Dina was not here alone tonight. I came because I knew what was going on, and I had heard about some of the council members thinking of changing their votes, and if you want to join that move, I would really encourage that. I was rather embarrassed, shocked, and saddened by that vote last week, and I hope that you might consider that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And if I could ask you to both sign in so that we have your name accurately for the minutes. Thank you. Is there further oral testimony this evening? Afternoon? Late afternoon? No? Okay. So this